It can be a rather uncomfortable moment when you have to ask a house guest who's overstayed their welcome to leave. Well, recently, in one of our EPP bonus episodes, the ghost of the house did just that and really took care of the problem. And the ghost not viewed as a problem by the homeowner.
You won't forget this one.
It's a great story, and you're only going to hear it in the EPP bonus section of Real Ghost Stories online on a recent episode. When you're an EPP, you get access to more than 50 bonus episodes of the show, exclusive video content, and more. It's only $5 a month to keep our show on the air, covering all of our basic costs of keeping this thing afloat and distributing the show. And you get all these extra great episodes to enjoy as well. So please help keep the show going. Sign up to be an EPP on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a listener describes the woman she saw in her apartment and how she feels she may know what happened to that woman. A granddaughter is visited by her late grandfather, whom she did not know well, but it turns out that she has much more in common with him than originally thought. A teen has a terrifying premonition of losing a loved one, and friends decide it would be funny to announce at a cemetery that one member of their group can talk to spirits. The spirits do not miss the opportunity to visit. Those stories, your calls, and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. I have a little funny story to share.
Okay.
And it doesn't necessarily involve ghosts, but it involves things being out of place.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
And I won't go on long about this. I just thought I'd share. So earlier today, we went and visited our local Humane Society. We were looking at a dog that we had seen on the website. And as you walk into the Humane Society, there's big glass windows. Normally, there's nothing on these windows, but as you walk closer, I noticed something odd. The big vinyl banners that a lot of restaurants have up, you know, like Chili's or Taco Bell,
sure,
that advertise their food selections.
Uh-huh.
Banners like that on the entrance windows. And what struck me as being a little bit odd was these were large banners for Omaha Steaks. Big,
yeah,
picture of a filet and like a tenderloin and a KC strip hot on the grill right as you walk in to the Humane Society.
Yeah, it was bad.
Now, I didn't get it. I was like, are those supposed to be there? Is somebody playing a sick joke? Or are they like, because a lot of things were running through my mind, because
mm-hmm,
there's different type of fundraising you can do with different groups. And I don't know if Omaha Steaks does that or not, but, you know, where it's like, oh, you know, you place your order for your steaks, you know, through them and they get a kickback.
Sure.
And I thought, well, maybe there's something like that going on. Odd choice for a place like a Humane Society where, yes, they do have to put down animals to have large pictures of meat being advertised,
yeah,
right as you walk through the door. And I went into the little gift shop in there where they sell toys and stuff for the animals. And I said, do you guys, are you selling Omaha Steaks or something? No, why? I said, well, what about those banners that are right in front of you on your window there? I mean, I don't know how all these employees that walked into this place did not see them,
mm-hmm,
as they and went, oh, that shouldn't be there. And I said, oh, that's odd. I'm like, no, really, I don't think they should be there if you're not involved with them, because it might give off the wrong impression.
Sure.
And then she asked somebody else who was walking through, and he just shakes his head and goes, ugh. Turns out some banner company that was making banners for them, like vinyl banners.
Yeah.
They wanted to show them some examples of their work and the quality.
Yeah.
And they went and stuck them on the side of the building, and nobody ever looked at them or took them down.
So they've just been sitting there for God knows how long.
Well, at least it was something completely innocent. I started to think maybe it was some kids stole them from some restaurant and put them up there.
That was my thought. Yeah. And then the guy's like, "Whoa, people are going to start thinking we're feeding our animals here Omaha steaks." I'm like, I wasn't really drawing those dots. I said I was drawing dots the other direction that the animals were being turned into these steaks. And he's like, "Oh God, yeah." And I'm like, I mean, it's morbid and horrible, but not appropriate for, so they went and took them down.
And see, there's not much for kids to do around here from the age of 13 to 18. So there's all the time there's signs with the letters that you take down with the pole, whether they're rearranging it to say stuff. And I know that's all over, but here in the middle of nowhere, I totally thought that some kids just slapped those up there as a sick joke.
That was my thought. What also is interesting about this whole thing, number one, how no one noticed these things as they walked into the building because they were large.
Yeah.
The other thing is the judgment of the sign company.
Yeah.
Here, we're going to show you some examples of our work. Let's slap these ones on this business. You know, there's so many horrible combinations you could make with that. And I won't go into that because I could make a ton of horrible combinations up and I don't want to offend anybody. But that would certainly be one of them on my list of what would be the worst possible example to put on this building. That would be one of them. So there you go. Things in wrong places.
Yes. And we did not come home with a dog.
No, we did not. Still going to hopefully find one eventually that fits the mold.
Yeah.
You just know it.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have to sense ghosts.
Yeah.
that's the criteria. Does this one sense the undead? And they look at us strangely and shoo us out. But that's how our pet hunting works. So 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost story with us. Of course, you can write it on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Carrie writes in, "I lived in a small one-bedroom apartment in Japan while teaching English there for a few years. About a year in the apartment, I was sitting on my living room couch reading a Terry Pratchett novel when I was suddenly struck with an intense feeling of terror. There was no sound or movement to spark the fear, but when I looked towards the kitchen, I saw the shadowy figure of a woman hunched forward over my sink, directly under the kitchen light. Both of her hands were in the sink itself, impossible to see where I was sitting. I left the room and closed myself in my bedroom, turning the lights on and staying there until the intense feeling of terror disappeared. It took about an hour. I remained shaken, but the inexplicable terror disappeared as quickly as it had come. A few months later, the intense feeling of terror returned. This time I was in my bedroom and emerged to try to address the figure. I told her that I could see her and that I thought she was dead and that she should move on. The figure didn't move or respond in any way, but the fear I felt vanished. And so, at the same time, did she. I continued to feel a presence in the apartment for the next few years, but I never felt afraid again. Instead, she had an aura of melancholy. I don't know what happened. I didn't look into the history of the apartment while I was there, and now that I'm no longer in the country, it's impossible. But from her posture, I wonder if she cut her own wrists there in the kitchen sink. If she's still resident, I hope she's picked up a roommate more sensitive than I am. There was something keeping her there, but if she tried to communicate, I was never able to receive it. I can't imagine anything lonelier than being conscious of your own death, unable to move on, and unable to communicate to the living."
I think the fact that she drew the conclusion that she thought this woman slit her wrists, I think she's somehow sensing something or knows something, because that's not something that I think would be the first thought. Mm-hmm. I honestly, when I was reading it to begin with, thought, oh, this woman's stuck doing dishes for eternity. But the fact that that was the thought that the author had made me wonder, maybe that's the message she was supposed to receive.
If it was a conscious entity?
Mm-hmm.
Or, because it did seem to be in the same spot?
Yeah.
I wonder if it really wasn't something conscious. It was just the energy that was being replayed because of what an intense emotion that would be. Now, I could see her totally picking up on that's what happened,
mm-hmm.
which would make sense. I just wonder if so much this person is really stuck there.
Yeah.
Or if it's just the energy playing over and over and over.
Sure.
In that space. So that may give a little relief of knowing that this woman may not be stuck doing the decision she probably regrets.
Yeah.
Over and over and over. It may just be that emotion that is stuck in that area for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
It's just weird how you can draw a conclusion that wouldn't normally be your first thought.
Sure.
I think those are the messages we're supposed to get, and we have to pay attention to that.
I agree. Sarah writes in, so I wanted to share a story about the only time I've been visited by a deceased family member. I was 23 and had just finished military basic training. They sent me to tech school in Mississippi where I would learn my trade for 4 months. During basic, I had to call family members to get some background info for my security check and came to find out that both of my grandfathers had served in the same branch I was serving in. I didn't know either of them well. Grandpa A died when I was 2. Grandpa B, however, ended up with cancer and came to live with us when I was 19. He died shortly after arriving. His mind was mostly gone from the illness and I kept my distance. This was the only interaction we had ever had. So you can imagine my surprise when Grandpa B showed up at school. I was sitting in the patio area one Sunday morning around 7 a.m., rocking in my chair, nursing a hangover with a cigarette, when all of a sudden, I hear the strike of a lighter. I look around expecting to find a fellow smoker having their first puff of the day, but alas, I'm alone. And the stench of my grandpa's cigarettes hit me. I instantly knew he was there, sitting next to me. This took me aback. We were not close, and I would have never expected him to visit me. I sat there quietly, puffing on my own cigarette. Finally, I said, "Hi, Gramps. What brings you to these parts?" I spent the next few minutes talking to the air about basic and school when the feeling and smell went away. I pulled up my phone and called my mom. I told her that her dad had just visited me, and how I thought it was weird that he would. She then proceeded to tell me that she wasn't surprised at all. Turns out Grandpa B had attended tech school for radio on the same base. I was walking right in his footsteps. Mom thought he was just letting me know he was proud of me.
I think that's neat.
Yeah.
I think that was probably what was going on, that she knew it was him, and it's ironic that they ended up doing the same path there with the training. Do you think that there was influence from him that she was unaware of?
I could see that. I mean, it's interesting where you have, you know, genetics sometimes and folks who get, you know, separated from some of their family or just don't know them very well, like in this case, and then you find out later on in life how many weird similarities there are. Not like with necessarily illnesses, which that can come, but with interests and skills and paths like this that they end up taking based on those things. So I would imagine it's one of those things where it's, I don't know if inherited is the right word, but, you know, I think sometimes, you know, I think sometimes we inherit interests.
I can see that.
If you will, you know, I don't know. And I don't know if that is the right term for what I'm saying, but that's essentially what I mean.
I think people with kids notice that. Mm-hmm. I mean, we have, without our influence, we have a couple of, you know, little girls that were genetically predisposed to liking certain things that each of us like. Mm-hmm. And it's real funny. At such a young age, you can see that come forward.
Even when they're not exposed to it.
Yes.
At all.
Yes.
Suddenly it's like, oh, they're really drawn to this thing or that thing. And they've never, I mean, seen it before or had any interest, you know, or were presented with it like, ooh, mommy's interested in this or daddy's interested in that. It's just like, here's this. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting how that works, but it certainly does exist. Mm-hmm. And I think it can be generational. I think it can skip generations too, like that, from a grandfather to a grandson, where that can certainly happen. Very interesting. Helena writes in, "Hi, Real Ghost Stories Online. My name is Helena. I'm living in Denmark. I moved into my grandparents' home with my mom in March this year. My grandparents have a little happy and playful dog. She's 1 year old. They got her last year after the other dog died. In the first few months, I hadn't been seeing or hearing anything, but then in June, I had my first experience since we moved in. I was lying in my bed and watching TV. Suddenly, a flower that is standing over my TV starts to move. My window was closed, and the TV sound was on the same level as it always has been. This first time I thought that it was a TV sound waves, but then, a few days later, it all happens again, but this time the TV was turned off. I called my grandmom and she was trying to explain it, but she couldn't. And she told me that she often wakes up in the middle of the night, and then she sees a shadow standing in their bedroom door. All of this was in the end of June, and a month passed by without weird experiences. Then it all started again a few days ago. I was standing in my mom's room and was removing my makeup when I felt something touching my bag. Then 2 days after this, I went into my mom's room because I had to turn on the internet. Suddenly, I hear something that sounds like a dog playing or a dog that growls, and I was looking for my grandparents' dog, but it wasn't there. Anyways, went into my own room. Then my mom came home later that day and we were talking about the day, but I didn't mention the experience. Then my mom left the room and the growling started again, and sometimes it also sounded like someone was talking. When my mom walked into the room again, it all stopped. I remember playing with their old dog and suddenly it just froze and started staring at something. Since I was a little kid, I didn't like being alone in the bedroom section. I've been talking to my sister about this and she told me that when she used to live in their house, she didn't like being in the bedroom section alone either. And when our grandparents were on vacation, my sister was alone in the house. She slept in the living room. I do the same. I feel like I'm more open than I've ever been, and I'm trying to shut it down. But it is really hard. On one side, it's very interesting, but on the other side, I don't want to see another world. My grandparents have 5 kids. 2 of them passed away. One of them, a male, died in the late 1980s. He was only 29. Then in 2010, my mom's sister lost her fight to cancer. She was only 50. Then my grandma's little sister passed away for about 2 years ago. Maybe they are the ones we see and feel. My grandma has a long history with dogs, and when one passes, she gets another. She's very close with her dogs. I wonder why I experienced all of this. I wasn't close with any of these past relatives. I'm a bit scared for this spiritual world, if it is spiritual, which I think. How do I shut it down so I don't feel all of this? What's your opinion? Thanks for reading my story. Love your show. Best regards, Helena.
I think that is a really good question for our listeners, because we have a lot of listeners that see and feel things on a regular basis, and some of them know how to essentially dim their light so they don't see quite so many things or feel mm-hmm. quite so many things. And I don't know how to do that. I know in theory kind of how that's supposed to work, but I just kind of always operate at the same level. But I know that some of the more sensitive listeners really know how to hone in that skill, or, you know, push it back so it's not something they have to deal with all the time.
Yeah, I would not be the one to say how to do that, but we have heard ways of people mm-hmm. expressing how to do that. I think it's a very connecting with something inside of you.
Yes.
Way to do. So if someone has some advice for Helena, who's able to do that, feel free to start up a thread on our forum on the website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Carrie writes in, hello. Love the show, by the way. I'm Carrie from the Republic of Ireland. I love listening to the podcast while I play video games. It really does pass the time away. Now, I have a story to share that happened to our family. This was our first encounter with any paranormal activity. We live in an estate. Our house was built in the 1970s. I did my research on our local area, and in 1973, there was a fire in the estate, so they rebuilt the house due to the huge fire. A family and their newborn child lived in one of those houses. The parents escaped, but unfortunately, the baby died. The house they were living in, you guessed it, was ours. In late December of 2013, our family just finished off eating our Christmas dinner. In our family, it's a tradition to sit around the living room and share stories and then watch TV until we fall asleep. My granddad loves telling us stories of when he was in the war. Moments later, we all heard a loud thump noise upstairs. Nobody was upstairs because we're all downstairs in the living room. We could hear it as clear as day. So my granddad continued his story until the thump was 3 times louder this time. My father quickly dashed upstairs. We called him many times. Is there any problem? He did not answer. 5 minutes later, my dad walked slowly down the stairs. He was pale and literally looked like he saw a ghost. He never told us what he saw or what happened. Later on that night, I went to bed early. I was really tired. I never turn off the lights when I go to bed. I don't really know why. I just never have. My mother turned off the lights this night, and I did not care because I was really tired. I instantly fell asleep. My baby sister, age 3, was sleeping in the other room with my parents. I had a dream. I can't really remember the dream clearly because it was so long ago. But what I can remember was we were in our family car driving until we crashed. We all survived except my baby sister. I woke up in a fright, but as I woke up, I saw a child looking at me, beside me. I jumped out of my skin, threw myself off the bed, and switched on the lights. Nothing was there. I was 15 at the time, and I started crying. A very sad event happened to our family looking back. I'm crying now. 2 weeks later, my baby sister Emily died in a car crash going to a friend's birthday party in their friend's car. Everybody survived except my sister. I was in shock. I told my family what had happened. They did not believe me. I did not believe in ghosts until that day. Thanks for reading. Love your show. Bye.
Do you think the ghost that visited him or her, I'm sorry, it's hard to know if Carrie's male or female.
Sure.
Was helping him to see that premonition in a dream.
As a warning or like a be prepared?
Either way.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I would think there's some sort of warning involved there. Mm-hmm. Not that he would have known to say, hey, don't... Because he wasn't in the car when it happened. So it wasn't exactly as the dream foretold.
No, it wasn't.
But... I don't know. I mean, because if nothing had happened, I would have just taken it as... the child was trying to get, you know, attention of itself that it died. Mm-hmm. And recognize that it was there. Maybe in its own way, it was trying to warn, but it just didn't really know how to communicate that. You almost wonder, you know, if you're a ghost child, do you remain with the sense of a child on how to explain things? You know, ask any child to explain something like that. You're going to get a weird story.
Sure.
And you're going to try and piece together what they're saying with how they feel it should be expressed.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if the child was trying to express that in the way a child would.
Yeah.
And that's what came out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could see that being.
I could see that too. It's close, but not quite, as most children's stories are.
Exactly. Very interesting. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us. Our number is 855-853-4802. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways to get your stories to us. And please consider supporting the show, becoming an EPP, extra podcast person. That is what keeps our show going. Covers our costs of getting the show out there with the bandwidth and all that every single month. The costs continue to go up. That's why we need EPPs. Without them, this would not be happening. So please consider supporting. If you like it, throw $5 in the kitty, and all is well. The show continues on. Meg writes in. Hi, it's me, Meg, writing in again. Today I wanted to tell everyone about a game I know of. Halloween is just around the corner, and I thought I might share this with people, seeing as I keep Halloween in my heart throughout the year. This game in Japan, people of the English language call it the 100 Candles game. In Japan, it's called... Oh, here we go. There's an enunciation guide. Let's see if I can follow that.
Okay.
Haikumono Tari.
That sounds pretty close.
And there's a second part. Kidanki. So, Haikumono Tari Kadanki. There we go.
Good job.
Thank you for the enunciation guide, because without it, I would have sounded like I was ordering something at a Japanese restaurant, which I don't do. I just point. I go, I'll have that. That looks delicious. Thank you very much. We can just stick with the English term. The game is very simple. You light 100 candles, and for each candle, you tell a story of the supernatural and blow the candle out. The room will get darker and darker till there's one candle left. This candle is meant for any wandering spirit who would like to share to join in. If any ghosts were attracted to your game, the final candle will blow out on its own. This game was invented in Edo, Japan. It was a test of courage among samurai. I should know. That's a very obvious word.
Yeah.
But of course, I read everything incorrectly. It is probably our equivalent to campfire stories. I've heard of many different versions of this way of telling stories. An example is that all the candles should be white and I have never done the full 100. You're probably wondering as to whether or not I've played the game. The answer is yes. Once every 3 months or more, we have a story time. It's fun to learn folk tales, legends, or myths of a particular area. My mom has used this as a learning tool to teach us history or a moral standard. We have to put our stories into written form and bring proof of where we found the stories. At the most, I've used 10 candles. The Japanese samurai would stop at the 99th candle for fear that they might attract an evil spirit. I did have some things happen on two different occasions. The very first time we played, my mother announced that we were about to blow out the last candle when we heard several horribly loud banging noises outside her house. No one knew we had planned this as our family story night. When we peeked outside, we found all our trash cans had been placed upside down in front of the house on the cement drive. You need to understand, our trash cans are kept at the corner of the house on the grass. My mom and brother went around the house and we found no one. When we returned to the room, the final candle was still smoking as if it had just been blown out. We figured it was due to the door being opened and closed. Still, we found it to be unnerving. If anyone had done that as a joke, they never owned up to it. And to be honest, our friends wouldn't be able to keep quiet. I must say that I would be too afraid to do all 100 candles. By the time we played this game, something strange did happen. It happened on a foggy night that my brother and I played alone outside. Not really sure what happened, so I don't really want to talk about it. Fair warning, never played this game in front of a mirror or on a night with a full moon. When playing this game, discretion is advised and take precautions. There are other ways to play this game. If you wish to learn more, just look up either Japanese 100 candle game or the enunciation of the part that I can't say again without the guide. It's not in this part of the story, and I'm not going to scroll back up. I don't recommend anyone playing this game at all. All the way, though. I don't know if it's true what they say about the 100th candle or not. Better safe than sorry, I always say.
Okay, the reason I like this is not because we want to encourage people to play this, but mm-hmm. it's a game that we've not heard that involves spirits and communication, and I want to hear if anybody else has stories about playing this. Because okay. we have Ouija stories all the time.
Sure.
I want to hear stories about this game.
If you've done it already.
If you've done it already. Don't go do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if you have, I want to hear what happened or didn't happen.
And, of course, if you'd like to, you can buy the Tony and Jenny 100 Candles box set game.
No.
Where
you can't. We don't sell stuff like that.
We could actually market that. We could sell that on the website, and that would help support the show.
It would not be a good idea.
It would get us more stories.
It would get us more stories. It would get us a lot of blame.
It would help fund this show.
No.
It would it would ruin a lot of lies. I mean, that's the bad part.
Yeah.
That's the scary part. But no, I've not heard of that one either.
No.
I suppose, you know, where he says, you know, better, or she says better safe than sorry. Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. It's one of those things where, you know, could you play it and absolutely nothing happened? Sure. But anytime you're asking spirits to interact with you and you're doing some sort of a ritualistic task, you're opening up the door for something to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it may or may not. By the time, I'd imagine if you had 100 candles going and you told 99 stories.
Yeah.
Your odds of that candle being pretty low and ready to go on its own are probably up there.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, could something else happen? Sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. So, yeah. Interesting one. I'd never heard of that one.
No, me neither.
Good times. 855-853-4802. That's our toll-free number to call in and share your real ghost story with us. Andy writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny Brewski. My name is Andy. I live in Rio Grande Valley in the deep South Texas. I've been listening to your show for about a year now. Is it Rio Grande or Grande? Up north, I think we say Grande.
We say Rio Grande.
Okay, Rio Grande. See, this is because you're, you know, from Texas, so you know how to pronounce these things. Up north, you're just like, oh, the Rio Grande chili, I'll take that. When we go to the you know, whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Tex-Mex restaurant that's run by Canadians. So.
Good times.
I've been listening to your show for about a year now. I love it. I've had odd experiences all my life. Most of them happened when I was a kid. I used to see friendly shadow people and whatnot. The experience went away in my teen years, but came back big time when I was 20 years old back in the fall of 1997. after I visited a cemetery one night with friends. We were stupid 20-year-old kids looking for a thrill, so we decided to go to a cemetery really late at night. On the way, I warned my friends not to acknowledge the spirits in the cemetery, or they will follow them home. Once we arrived at the place, we realized this could be a big mistake. The cemetery looked a lot creepier in the moonlight. When we exited our car in front of the cemetery gates, the little wind there was just stopped blowing. Everything was as still as the dead people buried there. The silence was deafening. My friends laughing and jumping. The gate broke, the eerie stillness. I joined in and reminded them what I told them in the car. A former friend of ours, I dubbed Weasel, spoke loudly and mentioned that I can talk to spirits. As soon as he said that, I heard voices coming from all directions. It sounded like hundreds of people talking. I couldn't make out what was being said. I was the only one who could hear it, so I kept it to myself. I sighed and sarcastically thanked the weasel. My friends all ran off into the darkness, laughing, and I was left alone with the voices. I began to walk around the cemetery in the moonlight, alone, ignoring the voices. I can hear my friends running around in the distance, trying to scare each other. I saw a bench next to a tree and sat down to wait till my friends tired themselves out. I was in no mood to play. I just wanted to leave. Suddenly, I hear running footsteps in the grass all around me. First, I thought it was my friends trying to sneak up on me. "I can hear you," I yelled. Then I heard children laughing. Quickly stood up and turned around. The footsteps and all the voices stopped. I began to walk backwards. Bumped into my friend. He asked me what was wrong. I said nervously, "Nothing, but it's time to go." After 10 long minutes, we all regrouped at the car and left the cemetery. Then I was dropped off at my home. Almost immediately, things began to happen in the house. The lights would flicker, knocks and threes would happen from time to time. In a week, night terrors and sleep paralysis began. Each time I would have these attacks, I heard demonic laughter and felt my soul leaving my body. I was ready to give up when visions of loved ones like my 6-year-old nephew would appear. These positive visions gave me strength to fight back. Then I sat up screaming and yelled, "You gotta do better than that." I went back to sleep in the couch after that. I finally got the courage to tell my parents that the house was haunted again. But they did the same thing to me as they did to me when I was a kid. Laughed in my face. I told them it was the ghosts that were messing with the lights and the rest of the electronics. It was the ghosts that are knocking at night. After I told them that, I realized how crazy I sounded and decided to keep my mouth shut. The odd occurrences kept on escalating around my parents, but they still were oblivious and had a rational explanation for it, even when the light fixture fell right in front of my mother. She only picked it up and put it back where it belonged. I was so frustrated at my parents. The next day, my 6-year-old nephew came by because my mother was going to take him out to get clothes. I told her to let me know when they leave. As I waited for my mother to tell me, I was in my room reading a comic book. I was sitting on the floor with my back towards the open door of my room. Suddenly, I hear the pitter-patter of little feet walking up to my door. I hear my nephew laughing. I didn't look at him, but told him not to enter my room and go back to Grandma. My nephew ran back to the hallway and came back again just to annoy me. He laughed more and ran into my parents' room across the hall. Annoyed, I got up to scold him. I saw a glimpse of him going into my parents' room. "Go with Grandma," I said loudly. I can hear him giggle in the bathroom as I enter my parents' room. I entered the bathroom and heard him giggle again in the tub. He was thinking I couldn't hear him behind the shower curtains, so I quickly opened the shower curtains to see nothing there. Mind you, there's only one entrance to enter the bathroom. How could he sneak out without me seeing him? I heard him laughing in my parents' room just outside. I entered the room to see my nephew enter my room laughing. "No," I yelled. I entered my room to an empty room. I left my room and went to the TV room on the opposite side of the house to talk to my mother about my nephew, realizing they had left already. I heard the laughter again. I stormed outside and waited for hours until someone came home. A week had gone by with no incident. I was home alone in the kitchen, making myself lunch. Looking through the fridge, I felt I was being watched. I stood up, turned to my right, and saw two transparent people standing in the dining room looking at me. They were wearing robes. The one on the left had a gold robe, and the one on the right had a blue robe. They seemed out of phase. I couldn't make out their faces. We were staring at each other for at least a minute until the one on the left nudged the other. They both looked at each other. It looked like they were talking to each other based on their body language. They realized I could see them and seemed shocked about it. Once they realized I could see them, they headed to the living room. I followed them into the living room and found nothing. The next day I was watching Ghostbusters with my 6-year-old nephew, and I jokingly asked him if he had seen any ghosts before. I was expecting a no. He told me yes. I asked him to describe where he saw the ghost. He saw two angels in the kitchen the week before. He said one was wearing gold and the other was wearing blue. I asked him what they were doing. Just walking. And the other is blue. The other in blue is Michael, my nephew said. I was relieved that someone else saw something, at least. I wasn't crazy after all. If I had the Archangel Michael and another Archangel visit for us once a week, I wonder what type of evil followed me home from the cemetery. After that, the experiences only happen maybe once or twice a year and are mostly minor. I'm going to do anything, not going to do anything stupid like going to a cemetery at night again. All my good ghost stories happened when I was a kid. I'll write or call in some other time to tell them. I know my story is long, but I'm not going to apologize for it. Thank you. Take care.
That would be a jerk to go into a cemetery and your friend being the jerk, saying, oh yeah, so-and-so over here can see you and talk to you and just totally out you as being able to be sensitive and see ghosts and then have stuff tag along. That wouldn't be a friend of mine anymore.
That kind of implies then that telling the ghosts that this person is sensitive, that they can then turn it on to the person.
Yeah.
And it's not the person that just turns it on or is always on.
Right.
It's like, oh, well, if I just amp myself up a little bit more, I'll be seen by this individual.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah, probably not a good thing to do in a cemetery.
No.
And it's interesting, all of the sounds and it being just overwhelmed, how overwhelmed they were in the cemetery. Kind of then goes back to the question of, are cemeteries haunted places? Because some will argue, rarely does anyone die in a cemetery. Rarely is it a place that people frequent.
Mm-hmm.
So why would a cemetery be a haunted place other than the bodies being there?
Because there is so much emotion expelled in cemeteries on an ongoing basis.
Yep, it's like a giant, it's like the funeral home.
It's a battery.
It is. It's that same thing. So it doesn't necessarily even need to be the dead bodies who are there that are haunting it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's a passing through. It's a giant oasis.
Yeah.
For the dead.
Yeah.
Interesting story. Thank you for sharing that with us. Josh writes in, I recently discovered your podcast during a long work trip and it helped fill the hours of the road nicely. I look forward to listening to more stories in the future. And although I've experienced more than a few strange and unexplained experiences in my life, listening to the podcast took me back to the most unnerving occurrence of the paranormal I can recall. I'm an avid outdoorsman and enjoy hunting, camping, and general outdoor activities. I've always felt very comfortable in the bush here in Australia and have gone out of my way to enjoy solo hiking and camping trips just to get away. A number of years ago, I was camping by a lake and enjoying it, and I drove into a nearby forest to collect some firewood for the night with my shotgun and axe. When I came across a good source of fallen deadwood, got out and began to chop up the wood with my shotgun resting against the tree nearby, something I've done hundreds of times in the last dozen years. I started to feel a bit strange and on the edge, as if someone was watching me. I kept glancing around, but everything seemed perfectly normal. It wasn't long before I felt that every time I looked in a direction, something would be there watching me. I had no idea what it was. I was almost overcome with fear. The forest suddenly felt very foreign, and I felt a force almost demanding that I leave. I was terrified, even with my gun in hand. Believe me when I say that as someone who worked in law enforcement, I've been in a lot of scary situations, but nothing has ever rattled me like that. I walked back to my vehicle and got out of there as quickly as I could and had only traveled for a few seconds when the feeling left me, but I couldn't get out of there fast enough. I'd love your thoughts on what this may have been. Never felt anything like it before or since, and I still enjoy the outdoors just as much as I did then. Never been back to that forest again, and I don't think I ever will.
I wouldn't go back either.
I would think that this is one of those things where it could have been paranormal. It might have been an animal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sense that we have, and if we're attuned to it, should pay close attention to it, and as you did, act on it. Now, not act out as in get your gun and start shooting in random directions, but like you did, remove yourself from the situation.
But it sounds like he's familiar enough with the bush that he's been out there plenty of times and probably has encountered animals. That this sounds like mm-hmm. it was something entirely different.
Could be. I just wonder. I wonder if it was something he just did not see. You mm-hmm. know, I don't know. That's a good question. If we were able to talk to him, I would ask that question. You know, I would think, you know, he has probably had that feeling before with an animal, and that would be different. But who knows? I mean, I could see it being that area too, where it could have been some sort of predatory thing that really his senses were picking up before he mm-hmm. normally was. But I could also see it, yeah, very much being something paranormal, especially an outdoorsman who does that very frequently, you're right, would likely know that feeling.
Yeah.
And go, oh, it's the animal feeling, you know. I should look around, keep the gun nearby. I don't know.
I don't know either.
What about predatory person? That's probably not a common thing either.
No.
Animals, fairly common probably.
Mm-hmm.
Predatory person, that could be a different feeling that you're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there was a human also that, but I'm not trying to rule out paranormal, but without it ever going definitively paranormal, I think it's more so a sense thing.
Yeah. It's just, I think you have to really, put some weight into his level of experience.
Sure,
too.
Definitely.
So that may be something we'll never know.
Yeah.
But it's a good story.
I would not go back.
No.
I think that's a good decision. Thank you for writing in and sharing that. Our next letter, dear Tony and Jenny, when it comes to paranormal experiences, I've had many. One is where I told my nieces she was pregnant a week before she knew it herself. Later, she was going to reveal the sex of the unborn baby to her mother and father at a family dinner. As dinner was reserved for the immediate family, I was home polishing my motorcycle and trying out a new cigar from an assortment I received in the mail just that morning. The cigar was a lot stronger than I was used to, and the nicotine had hit me a bit stoned. I had what I can only describe as a visual memory of the future. I saw a little girl about 2 years old with pale, beautiful alabaster skin, platinum blonde hair coming down to her shoulders, and striking cobalt blue eyes. She was holding onto the arm of a chocolate brown couch in a room I've never seen before. I saw about 1 second of movement that repeated like an animated GIF image. I never had a vision before, so I suppose this is what it is, a visual memory of something that hasn't happened yet. I immediately called my sister, my niece's mother, and told her what I saw, didn't mention the couch, and repeated, "I know the baby is going to be a girl." Long story short, Emma turned out looking exactly as I saw her. I mean exactly. And it wasn't until I visited their new home that they had just moved into about 2 years after the vision that I saw the chocolate brown couch and the living room I saw in the vision. Until then, I didn't even know they had a brown couch. I never asked them, and I never mentioned it to my sister until the day before I went to visit the new home. I know that a lot of people like to exaggerate or even make up paranormal accounts because such stories are harmless and a lot of fun, but I swear on my mother's eyes and my God, strike me dead if this story I just related to you isn't the truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. There you go.
You know, there are a number of religions, not heavily practiced in the U.S., but they do different types of recreational drugs or things, which I know a cigar is not technically a recreational
sure.
drug, as like we're thinking marijuana or something like that.
Yeah, like smoking a pipe of some sort or,
right.
or whatever, yeah.
But they're trying to reach an altered state of consciousness
mm-hmm.
to be able to either talk to spirits or have premonitions.
Sure.
And it kind of reminded me of what happened here inadvertently.
That's an interesting observation.
Mm-hmm.
So then you have to look into, is it the altered state that can give you these visions because of the substance that was being used, or is it the religion in it?
I think it has more to do with the heightened sensitivity
mm-hmm.
and the kind of almost feeling disoriented. It's not mm-hmm. so much the religion. The religion aspect of it is more so that this group of people does this to achieve that. Mm-hmm. Not so much we're going to get high and then call upon our God. It's more so they have found a link.
Okay.
And it kind of just reminded me of that exactly. Because, you know, the author said they felt kind of, you know, stoned. And maybe that's why they were able to receive this message.
That'd be an interesting marketing piece for that cigar company.
Yeah.
Smoke this cigar and see the future. Back to the Future Cigars 2. You have to call them 2 because that's the way you know. 855-853-4802. That's our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online to share your story with us. Hi.
How you guys doing this morning? I've called in a couple of times with a couple of my stories. I've had something really weird happen. My name's Glenn. I'm from Florence, Kentucky. Sorry. I just came out of my... We live in a two-bedroom trailer. I just came out of my bedroom. I was going to go outside to smoke a cigarette. And I come past my son's room, which when we moved here, there was no doors on any of the rooms, which is normal for a kind of trailer. But I walk past my son's room, and I get out to the living room, and I was like, you know, I'll just wait on a cigarette and play some World of Tanks. So I went to go sit down in my chair and turn my Xbox One on, and, you know, start to log in and all that stuff. This is going to sound really weird and really messed up, but... somebody, I guess, farted. I guess this is, again, this is really weird. I sat down in my chair, and all of a sudden I heard somebody fart, and it was really loud. And I thought, you know, the only person here right now is me, and I have a dog, and I got a cat. Well, my dog Otis came by, and I was like, good Lord, dude, you know, hope you didn't, you know, mess yourself. So he came, you know, sat by me and laid on my lap, and all of a sudden I heard it again. But this time it was in the next room over. I was like, you know, my wife has to be home. She's just messing with me. And when I went past my son's room the first time, he has a car's curtain up in his room to give him privacy. So I was like, you know what? And it was closed, so I walked past it, and it was wide open. It was leaning to the left-hand side and wide open. And I just started laughing my ass off at this point. I thought it was the funniest thing I've seen or heard in, you know, all day. And... I was like, what in the hell was that? So I go sit back down. I get halfway out of the hallway, and I hear it again, and it's louder. I was like, all right, I'm starting to kind of get freaked out about this. I don't know what the hell is going on, because I thought it was my wife. My wife likes to play pranks on me and stuff like that. So I walked past it again, and nothing was in there. I even looked in the bathroom. I even, you know, took the shower curtain back. I looked behind the shower curtain, and I heard it again in my son's room. I was like, you know what? I'm kind of freaked out right now. This is funny as can be, but it's past the funny part. And so I start walking outside, and I heard it again. I was like, what in the hell is going on? And my dog and my cat were in the living room the whole time. So I don't know what the hell it is or what it could be, but my grandpa used to play pranks on us like that when we were kids. He died in his 60s. When he was 67 years old due to a massive heart attack. And my grandpa was notorious for playing, you know, he had a sick sense of humor playing like that. Well, I've been really thinking about him lately, you know, because my grandma's been really upset since she's passed, which is normal. And I've been really upset because, again, he was like my father. My dad and my mom were not around when I was a kid, so I thought, you know, he took my father position, my grandma took my mother position. And my grandpa was notorious for, you know, playing fart jokes and stuff like that. I don't know if it was him coming back just to let him know that he's still here or what, but I can't come back in my house right now. Yeah, I'm kind of waiting for my wife to get off because, again, I've never, you know, this is like, it was funny as hell, but it's weird when you hear something and it's not there. But I've checked the house. I've checked the house twice. I went outside and looked underneath the house to see if, you know, anybody was under mask with me. Nobody was in here besides me, my cat, and my dog. And these farts were too loud to be my dog. And I don't know what the hell to do. I really don't. But you guys have a good day. Again, I apologize for. I think this is rude of me to call this, but again, this is something I've never actually experienced, I guess. But you guys have a good day. Bye.
Well, he called the right place when this sort of stuff happens.
Well, I'm glad he called us because so often our stories are really dark or really sad.
Mm-hmm.
A fart. Everybody loves a fart joke.
Mm-hmm.
They're always funny. It doesn't matter how mature you try to be. They are always funny.
Even if they're coming from a dead person.
Yeah. Well, we've had other farting ghosts, so.
Or animal. It could be a ghost animal.
Yeah.
We've had farting animals.
We have.
It could very well be. So I wouldn't rule out a ghost animal either, honestly.
So, Glenn, that was not rude. That kind of made my morning when I got that call and listened to it. So thank you for that.
Thank you for the call. And I hope hopefully the farts calm down for you a little bit. I could get pretty messy.
Let us know if something starts to stink.
God, that would suck. It would be. We had a story like that.
Yes, we did.
Tangerine farts.
Tangerine farts.
A long time ago. Wow. All right. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story. If you want to keep our show on the air, become an EPP, extra podcast person, only $5 a month. Please do so. If you like the show, throw a little bit in the kitty, and it keeps us alive, if you will. So check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. You get access to all of our bonus episodes, more than 50 of them. They are great episodes, packed with some of our best stories ever. Check it out, realghoststoriesonline.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of this little program we call Real Ghost Stories Online.